Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Grandmaster Karen Eden Herdman, and you are listening to Parts Unknown with Professor Gary Lee, now in six countries with over 14,000 listeners. And here he is, my friend, Professor Gary Lee.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Well, aloha, everybody, and much more.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Welcome to Aloha.
Aloha.
This is our weekly radio blog that shares sport karate to the world. And tonight we have a very, very special guest. But before I bring her on, I want to bring on my producer, the man that has put us on the air for going on 10 years. He has a vision. He runs Elite Publication and the AMAA Alliance. Hachi Gessie Bowen. Hachi, you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
Well, you got a big, big weekend coming up. And I want to share with people what you're doing in New Orleans for my friend Cynthia Rothrock. How'd you, Jesse?
Oh.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, sir, we're having a huge weekend coming up. It won't be this weekend. It's the weekend of the 28th and 29th, and that's in Las Vegas at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. And this is our second time featuring Cynthia, Grandmaster Cynthia Rothrock. You know, we have it's over 100 martial artists that now they are actually, it's no longer a biography book for them. They're now co-authors of the book. So everyone has a vested interest in the book. We're doing a lot of, you know, new things. You know, we've added the Hall of Fame, the museum in, along with other things. Our jackets are in, you know, the Legends rings are, you know, all that stuff is in. And, you know, so Friday night, everything kicks off on Friday on the 28th, and we have the book signing, the Who's Who in the Martial Arts book signing. And from then, we move on over to the VIP reception. This is where the Legends ring. This is all of our inductees. They receive a complimentary ring from the Who's Who in the Martial Arts. And this year, we are introducing the alumni jackets. You know, these are beautiful jackets. And so that's going to be a part of the presentation on Friday. And then on Saturday, we kick off doing seminars from starting at 10 o'clock all the way until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then to the event that we've been waiting for. And so it's just going to be a really super busy weekend. And, you know, I'm really excited. We just launched the book this week. And I went on the line, and the book has already hit number one hot new releases. And so, you know, we're just, you know, having fun trying to make a difference in the world and really sharing, you know, Grandmaster Cynthia Rothrock, you know, who she is, but also the other martial artists who are now our co-authors of the book, you know, highlighting these great gentlemen. And, you know, we're really just excited. It's just a lot of positive things going on. We're already setting up for next year, which will be our 10th anniversary. And we're planning on doing a reunion of everybody that was featured in the book. There's way over 1,000 martial artists that have been featured in the book. So this upcoming year of 24, we're going to have the reunion. It will either be in D.C., Charlotte, North Carolina, or in Florida. So right now we're trying to anchor that down and have that ready to announce before the 28th. But, hey, we just got a lot of great things going on, sir.
Wow, that's exciting. That's very exciting. Now, you're going to be featured at the Legends this year when we honor the ladies in general and featuring Karen Eden Herdman. You're going to be featured at 3 o'clock on Saturday, October 7th, for the book and some rings. And but anyway, I'm just really proud, part of what you've done, and be a proud of part of what you've done with the virtual museum. And God bless you, Jesse Bowen. You're one of the good guys. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
And one other thing, sir, just, you know, let everybody know, especially on that's a part of what we're doing with the broadcast. We're actually going to be, and I know the you know, one of the authors is on tonight, Mr. Michael Hornsby is on, but, you know, the cookbook is going to be released at your event. So everyone out there, this is a plug for them, you know, go to our website, Elite Black Belts Who Cook, and register for that.
Talking about it, Hachi. Let's bring Michael on. Michael, are you there?
I'm here. I'm here.
Hey, Mike. While we're talking about it, we got the publisher, Hachi, on. Let's go ahead and talk about it in a minute. Now, I've known you for, golly, about 40 years. Where did you come up with this idea about a cookbook, Michael?
Well, I came up with, one, you know, we are all experts in our individual crafts, our individual styles, our individual fields. Many martial artists out there are world champions. They're school owners. But with that, many of us martial artists, we have passions and hobbies and skills outside of the martial arts. So I thought of the idea of, well, you know what? I want to showcase, we should come up with something to showcase their skills outside of the martial arts, outside of the expertise of the martial arts. And one of the things that brings all cultures together and all people together is food. Whether you are a dabbler in the kitchen like me, or a have passion for cooking, or you may have chef-like skills like a Hachi Bowen. so they have an opportunity to be part of this cookbook, which is titled Elite Black Belts Who Cook, whether it's themselves or someone who's a partner with them, their wives, their spouse, fellow black belts. They have a chance to be featured in this cookbook that's being released at your event, which is exciting. And so I'm just so glad to have partnered with Hachi Bowen and Elite Publications to bring this to the forefront. It's a fun project for anyone and everyone, whether it's kids or adults, that can be featured and be part of this compilation cookbook. I'm excited.
I'm very proud to be a part of it, too. You've allowed me to write the forward to the opening of it. I'm just excited for you and for what Hachi Bowen is doing for you. Now, tell people the web or the URL or the contact for them to get in contact if they have a recipe and they want to be a part of this. Tell them, Michael.
Yeah, they can go to EliteBlackBeltsWhoCook.com to where they can submit their favorite recipe or two, or even more than that. And they can find out all the information there. Again, that's Elite Black Belts Who Cook. And again, you know, we're excited to have your recipe in there and others who are in there. I know that Hachi Bowen has a couple recipes and some of his family members are in there. So again, anyone, everyone can go to EliteBlackBeltsWhoCook.com.
Well, thank you, Michael, and thank you, Hachi Bowen, and God bless both you guys, and I'll talk to you guys real soon. Aloha.
Yes, sir.
These are two great men, and one's creating a cookbook, and the other one is publishing it. How cool is that? And we get to talk about them every week, because the opening of his book is going to be done at our vendor show. Well, I call it a super vendor show, because I've never done it before. I'm going to have over 50 vendors, organizations, authors, celebrities, cookbooks, and I even got ninjas. This is October 6th and 7th in Houston, Texas, the Legends event. We're also going to be honoring one of the greats, Mr. Mike Stone, who, by the way, has never been promoted. Never. In 60 years. Now, he won like 93 matches, whatever, losing as a brown and black belt. he created the Four Seasons tournament, which in the 70s, if you didn't win the Four Seasons, it was tough. And he also created the Golden Fist Awards, the Academy of Martial Arts Recognition. He choreographed a dozen or more movies, Rhythm, the Ninja movie, Into the Ninja, Return of the Ninja, American Ninja. But then he moved away to the island. He's coming back home to the mainland. He's from Hawaii, but he's coming to the mainland for us to recognize his greatness. And we get to do that October 6th and 7th at the Incredible Legends. For more information, you can call 713-483-0476. Now, I want to introduce a couple guys that kind of keep you in line. Did the Wolverine get on yet? I guess he's knocking people out. Well, the other gentleman that kind of puts up with me every week, he's from Cleveland, Ohio, and he's a master at Taekwondo Karate, Korean style. A great guy. He is my speaker for all my military awards we give out every year at the Legends. He's an incredible fisherman. I love that about him. He catches fish. I want to bring on my friend, A.J. Perry. A.J., you there?
How are you, Professor? Thanks for the nice introduction.
Well, you catch fish. I know you catch fish. So
I'll be fishing next week. I won't be on. I'll be up in Lake Ontario fishing for king salmon. I'll try to get on.
Well,
you know, the reception
AJ,
is.
A lot of people don't realize. A lot of people don't realize I fish for bass for 22 years of my career.
I know. You're a heck of a fisher. You know, you were talking about, you know, military, Gary, real quick. On the 29th of July, they're having a military ceremony, a funeral with a flyover right around the corner from my house from some remains that they found from a flyboy. It was Army Air Corps back then, back in World War II. They just found his remains, and they're having a ceremony over here right around the corner from my house I'm going to go to. And that'll be
cool.
Real special.
It will be. It will be. Do me a favor, AJ. When I get done when I get done talking to you, call Dean and see where he's at, okay, if he's okay.
Will do. Will do.
Thank you, big guy. I'd like to bring on my very special guest. I've known her for many, many years. And I want to bring on Vicky. Are you there? Vicky,
I'm here.
Okay, good. Let me introduce you. I've known this lady since the 70s, and I got to add some bullet points where I really get to ask her questions. First of all, she was the first woman to open up a karate school in Greenville, North Carolina. She was a fighter of distinctive attitude. She won the Battle of Atlanta. She was the first woman to be tested underneath the SICA board. That's the Southeastern Karate Association. Ladies and gentlemen, you realize how hard it would be to be a young, petite lady going from black belt in front of all those animals like Sam Chapman and Joe Corley and Bill McDonald. Come on. This is an amazing lady. She's also got some skills outside the karate. She's a musician. She also got involved with a movie that we all know about that we lost my friend Brandon in, The Crow. But you know what? I got to say this before I bring her on. A big shout out to her best friend, Mr. Miyagi, my ambassador, my mascot for my karate sport karate museum. With that said, I want to bring on my friend, champion.
And Miss Miyagi is sound asleep on the bed beside me right now.
Do what?
Miss Miyagi is sound asleep on the bed beside of me right now. I said, you got to stay awake, man. They might want to talk to you, but he crashed.
Oh!
He's had a big day at daycare.
Well, you're out there, yeah, out there hollering and yell a little bit louder, I guess, in the minute so I can talk to Mr. Miyagi. But first of all, I want to talk to you. Tell me what it was like testing at a seeker board, the first woman to test underneath all those animals like Corby and Chapman and McDonald. What was that like?
Well, Gary, how much time you got? Okay,
you got one minute, go.
All right. By the time I got to Atlanta, I had already started at the age of 16 studying Taekwondo, the only woman in a karate class at the age of 16 in the 60s. It didn't matter to me. My dad, I'm an only child, and he said, you can do anything you want to be. It makes no difference whether you're male or female. So I had already went through that through my life, and by the time I got to the seeker board, it was a piece of cake. Bill McDonald, when I met him at East Carolina, he was only training men and women separately. And when I walked into that dojo at East Carolina University and I saw the separation, I stood in the middle and he looked at me and he said, what are you doing? I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I don't teach men and women together. And I'm like, well, what am I doing here? And I said, when I walk back to that dorm tonight, which one of these groups do you think I'm most worried about? And from that day forward, he walked up to me and he said, he put his finger in my face. He said, you're on. And I wasn't in the bars on Fridays and Saturday nights. He was training me, pushing me to be the biggest, best thing I could possibly be. And that's
Vicky, that'd be hard because you're only 4'3", right? How tall are you?
4'3"? I'm a little bit taller now. I'm 5'2", I think.
Okay, I was close. Now, you also won one of the most important events in America, the Battle of Atlanta. What was that like?
Well, I had been there two or three times. Chuck Norris refereed my first match between me and Janice Miller, and she beat the dog poo out of me. I met her again in Missouri. I only lost by 1 point. I met her again back in Atlanta, and I beat the snot out of her. And then I went back to the Battle of Atlanta and was up against Melaza Costco. And I beat her in fighting Ankata, and that was the best day of my life, right there. It was awesome. It was a rough night. I don't know if you know the story, but it had been a rough night before.
Malia was probably ready as the number one. I think she wasn't probably. She was. She was ready as the number one fighter in America, and for Vicky to beat her, what a incredible! Now, did you fight Janice Miller too?
Oh yeah, I fought her twice.
You fought Janice twice.
No, wait a minute. I fought
Janice
her one, two, three times. It took me three times to beat her. Three times. But
wow.
She's also 6'1", and I'm 5'2". So what I did, that's when I, in my world, the only way I could beat her was jump. I started doing the jumping back fist, and I could jump. I mean, when I went to do my test in front of the seeker board, I mean, Bill, every – kick we did on the floor, we had to be able to do in the air. So I became a very aerial type fighter. So I learned to jump up and get over her and hit her in the top of her head. And she couldn't figure out where I was coming from. And the other thing I did was I did a drop on the floor, drop roundhouse kick to the groin. And I beat her.
I got to ask you real quick. Vicky, I got to ask you real quick. What did you do with the crow? What exactly did you do with the movie The Crow?
When I moved from Raleigh to Wilmington, Had friends in the movie business, and I was the second woman to ever be hired on as a set builder. I build things. And I literally, the trap door that he came out of and switched with his double, I built that trap door.
Cool.
He came, it was a set that was built, and they switched places. He came down, the other guy went up, and it was, they shut us down for almost 2 months until the movie got up and running until they could figure out how they were going to figure out how to shut it. But
well,
they,
you know, I worked with Brandon at Universal, and I got to meet him, and rest in peace, Brandon. He was a great guy.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you also, you've been to a couple of legends. You've been to a couple of gatherings that the Sport Crime Museum has put together. How do you feel about what we do? You're coming You're coming this year, too.
Yeah. I mean, what you have done, I mean, I've got to speak from a female standpoint, because we have fought hard. To get where we are, and people like you have recognized us and realized, Karen, all these people, oh, my God, we made a difference for so many women in the martial arts. And you guys have done so much to give us that honor and that place where we should be. I mean, we deserve every bit as much of a space as the guys do. I've trained so many kids, so many men. Black Belt Magazine did a 2-part article on me on how I learned how to teach kids. I'm talking 4, 5, 6-year-olds, and they were little boys. And I had to learn how to speak to them. I'm an only child. And they taught me every bit as much as I taught them. And they went on to do very well. And that,
well,
it's
listen,
guys,
Vicky,
like you that have shown us
we're
the honor
play
that we deserve.
Game at the end of the show, and I'm going to call you up and I'm going to say a name to you, and you get to talk about them for about a minute, and that's how I close the show out. So don't go nowhere, okay, please?
Oh, I'm sitting right here watching my boy sleep.
Super, super. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to America's karate champion, Vicky Morrow. She is really an amazing lady. She'll be at the Legends this year, October 6th and 7th, where we honor Jerry Smith from the Black Karate Federation and founder, Mr. Golly Bum. Mike Stone will be coming in to get 8 10th degree black belt diplomas around the country. And then Miss Karen Eden Herdman, a Taekwondo master. And then we're going to be saying thank you to all the ladies, the grandmothers, the mothers, the aunts, the daughters, the sisters, the champions, the black belts, the icons like the Kimura. We got an incredible show planned in Houston, October 6th and 7th. Ladies and gentlemen, you know I'm crazy. I even got permission from the head Kumu in Hawaii to put together an official hula dance for the girls. Golly bum, we're going to have such a great time. And if you want to know more about it, you can call 713-483-0476, and someone from the museum will tell you all about it. Now, we feature a section now called The Five. These are 5 incredible people from all across America. They get to talk about topics that are important, that need to be talked about. And we get to talk about them every week. And I had a vision, ladies and gentlemen, years ago, to put together a group of ladies and men who are very important to our vision of what we've done with Sport Karate all these years. I want to introduce the first person. She is a lady of distinction. She'll be at the Legends this year. She is a karate high don rank A3 Bravo and he's a sport car museum. She also trains in Kung Fu. She'll be at the Legends doing a seminar on Tai Chi techniques, beginner and advanced. She'll have a booth where she'll show her skills to you individually. I want to bring her on right now. My dear friend from New Jersey, and I don't hold that against her, but she lives in North Carolina now, however. Miss Karen Blackburn. Karen, how you doing?
Oh, Auntie, I'm fine. I'm doing really good.
Good
Vicki,
girl.
It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, hey, Karen,
tonight,
long time to see.
Right,
yeah, it's been a long time. I'm honored to be on the same
ladies.
Channel with you.
What do the ladies do for Spartan Karate? I mean, what is the adventure that the women portrayed in sports karate from the 60s up through the 2000s?
Oh, I believe that the women have really come a long way because they would not stand for it the way it used to be. From the bias, from being ignored, being thought your belt was less than theirs, we went through all of that. And all we wanted to do was compete. That's all we wanted. We wanted to be treated equally and honestly. And it has come along, especially the 80s and 90s. I have not been to a tournament in probably 4 years, but I would say the balance is almost there. There's still some attitude and things. I spoke to Tanya, Hanshi Tanya Jones, tonight, and we talked about answering this question, and she said it's okay, it's better than it was, and it certainly has come to a point up in New Jersey and New York where a lot of the women groups are having their own events now. They're having their own tournaments, and there's 3 or 4 different ones that are going to be held in the next 12 months that are women only, and they're doing this also to have special self-defense divisions to highlight child sex trafficking. They all believe that the martial arts has not had a good voice, that they're not loud enough about this going on in our country. So they are highlighting that, raising money for groups that do this. I think it's pretty wonderful. I did not know that until about an hour ago. But it's all going to be tournaments just for women and just for girls, and it's going to be about protecting yourself against trafficking. Pretty
so
cool.
So, Virginia, the ladies have come a long way, you're saying, right?
I'm saying they have, and they have a long way to go. They can't get lazy, but they're great.
Yes, ma'am.
Much better than it used to be.
Well, thank you, Karen Slatcher, for your wisdom, and I can't wait to see you in October. God
hey, Gary.
God bless you.
Hey, Gary.
You bet. What, AJ? What do you want?
You know,
I'll
tell you something. I remember back in the 70s, we did a demonstration, and there was probably, 80, 100 students lined up in a gymnasium, and there was one woman amongst all those students. And, you know, it was a shame because the Koreans treated women like crap. I mean, they treated them like a subservient subculture. I mean, it was terrible. And martial arts has come a long way, through the years,
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, women are great technicians, on the most part. They're just phenomenal technicians.
Remember the Karate Olympics last year, how the women fought? It was so impressive.
Right.
Now,
just like golfers. Women golfers. Friends of mine asked me, I want to learn to golf. And I said, what do I do? I said, get on the Golf Channel, watch the women. their technique is the best.
You bet. Well, thank you, AJ. Now, I want to introduce a young lady who I've known for a long time. She was a Tara in Texas, but she's my friend, even though she's a Tara, but she's a sweet lady. She'll be at the Legends also with their booth, and we'll get to showcase her and say thank you to her for what she's done. I want to bring on Miss Lourdes Radilat. Lourdes, Bordas, this is that great introduction and you're not there. Bordas?
I'm sorry, sir. I said good evening, everyone. Hello, everyone. Yes, sir, I had you on mute. I am so sorry. I apologize.
Well, you're fired. Yes. You're fired. Okay, Lawrence, you know what? I got to say something to you. I apologize for the way I spell your name because it's so damn hard. But you know what? The Colonel Torres has got your back because he emailed me. He says, Gary, you spelled her name wrong. So I apologize, Lawrence. I apologize.
Well, your apology is accepted, sir.
Well, thank you. Now, let's talk about ladies, which is right down your alley. Have the ladies been through a tough time?
I think we went through a very tough time. I started in the early 70s, and when there wasn't women, I'd show up to a tournament, and they would tell me, you know, we're really sorry, but we don't have a women's division. And I would be the only woman there. And that never mattered to me because all I ever trained with was men. So that was just normal for me. Has it changed? Absolutely. It has changed not to the level that I would like to see it change. I think that we still have a long way to go. It's wonderful to hear, Karen, about what you just mentioned about having women's tournaments only. I think that that just made my day because I think that's going to help us tremendously to improve and help with what the negligence was that I personally experienced back in the early 70s. When the men, you know, they didn't like fighting a little bitty. I'm only 5 feet tall. So, and there was no weight division. What you would get lined up with is, and whoever you'd line up, who you'd fight. So I think it's wonderful that we've come to this place and time where there are a lot more women joining the martial arts. I think it was frowned upon for many years. The men didn't like it, for sure. And especially if we beat them, they didn't like it. And so I think it's wonderful that we actually get to have women's division. When we did start having women's division, my problem was that when I would have to fight women, I would always get called excessive contact, and I'd get kicked out, you know, because I was supposedly utilizing excessive contact, and I was pulling my kicks and pulling my legs because I wasn't hurt anyone fighting a woman when I was used to fight men only. So I went to the Battle of Atlanta. I lost my first fight to a woman, to a girl, and I was told, hey, they've got lightweight women. And I said, I'm not fighting lightweight women. And they said, but you're a lightweight. And I said, no, I can't fight lightweight women. I'll get called excessive contact in my first time. Well, I got talked into it by some mention.
You were a beast. You were a beast. So thank you, Lourdes. Thank you for your input. It means so much.
I would also like to say something else on behalf of the Sporty Karate Music. Thank you so much, sir, for everything that you've done for us. We really appreciate you recognizing all of us ladies. It's tremendous what you have done for us, and we're very, very grateful to you. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. We love you for that.
Thank you, Bartis. That's awful sweet of you, and I appreciate having a platform from all the history generals be able to say thank you to great champions like you. So thank you, Lourdes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Lourdes Radulat. I'll learn how to spell her name sooner or later. But, you know, before I do my next person from the five, I wanna say something. I've got a friend on the line that I met last year at the Legends, and he's got a vision to put together a United States martial art film festival, which he's done. He'll be at the Legends this year. In fact, a week before his big event in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's called the U.S. He called it World, because he's bringing in people from all around the world for this. A few of my friends, Don the Dragon Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Chi-Chu Ling, Rick Avery, Eric Lee, Art Camacho, Billy Blank, just to name a few. But I'll let him talk a little bit about it, because this is real exciting that we're sponsoring this event. It's the 50th anniversary of Bruce Lee's film, The Dragon, with over 50 films of those friends I just mentioned will be showcased. So, ladies and gentlemen, I will bring on my friend, my new ambassador of the Sport Karate Museum, Mr. Leo Ramos. Leo.
Hey, Professor Lee, Gary, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
I'm fantastic, and I can't thank you enough for all the support that you've shown. And with the festival, we got a big headline. We just made an agreement with Shannon Hall, who's a world champion kickboxer and also was one of the best American gladiators from the American Gladiator Show. She's going to appear for us.
Well, she's coming at the Legends this year, and she's getting a honorary black belt from the History Generals. So this is really cool, really cool.
Absolutely, and I want everybody to know that if you use Sport Karate Museum code SKM when you buy any passes, we're going to be making donations to help support all the good work that you do in preserving the history.
And you're going to get me on your radio show next Saturday.
We've got a podcast that we just launched supporting, you know, with the festival, and you will be on our podcast next Saturday. Yes, sir.
I'd love to be interviewed. I love it. I love to talk to other people on the radio. It's a habit, I guess. But thank you, Leo, for helping the Sport Karate Museum and the vision of helping all my friends get their movies and their show. And a big thank you. Rest in peace, Bruce Lee, who created Enter the Dragon. I remember going and watching that for the first time. I got goosebumps watching Enter the Dragon for the first time. You know, it was so cool seeing Jerry Smith in it, and Donnie Lee, and Jim Kelly, and all my, you know, friends I know. It was so cool. So God bless you, Leo. I'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Thanks, Professor Gary.
You bet. That is Leo Ramos, the producer of the U.S. Martial Art Film Festival. That'll be in Scottsdale, Arizona, October the 19th through the 22nd. And for all passes, use SKM on it, and they'll make a sweet donation, kind donation, to the Sport Karate Museum. And to find out more about it, you can go to www.SportKarateMuseumArchives. That's spelled ARCHIVES.com. The Martial Art Film Festival has a page there, and you can see all the incredible things about the Sport Karate Museum. Now I want to bring back the five, and I want to introduce this next gentleman. Now, did Adam James get on? Okay. This gentleman is an American hero. Seriously. He is a silver recipient. He is one of the main advisors for the military group of the Spokrotsky Museum. He is a SICA, Southeastern Karate Association champion, trained in Okinawa, a Marine, a hero, ladies and gentlemen, and he's on the fire. I want to bring on, I'm so proud to say this, my friend, Colonel Phil Torres. Colonel, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Colonel, it's such a pleasure talking to you every week. I get goosebumps.
The pleasure is mine that you asked me to be here as part of this group.
Yes, sir. Now, the ladies, what do you think the ladies have done, or how you feel the ladies have done to be where they are today, to be able to be the things they are? And I mentioned earlier, if anybody watched the real karate Olympics last year, the karate division for the ladies it was amazing to watch them fight Mikata. But anyway, sir, please tell me how you feel about the ladies.
Well, I'm excited about the strides that have been made. Like Karen said, things may not be equal yet, but the strides that have been made, when I remember back to the 60s and 70s, going to the tournaments, I only remember back late 60s, early 70s, I only remember one female that was fully in the fight, and that's the person I was trying to talk to you about earlier, Marilyn Fierro, the highest ranking woman in Asian Rue, 9 pounds. And I was so mesmerized by what she used to do. But I think that sometimes we gotta separate sparring, in this particular case, sparring from kata. When it came to kata, I think a lot of people, and me included, favor the ladies because, like AJ said, the big, bulky, muscular strength wasn't there, so they had to rely on technique. And the technique became so perfect that I think, and it came out when they were performing forms.
Good point. What a great point. Yes.
And that made a difference, and I think that's making a difference today. And if in the last couple of the last few years, we've had a lady win the Pro Kata War. And I remember 2 years ago, we're just going back 2 years, when there was a three-way tie between three women.
Yes.
And then they had to perform. Master Jenny kindly stepped out because she wanted to see the younger women have the spotlight. But it was a tie between three women at the top. And I was I was so honored to have been there, one of the judges, being able to participate in that moment. In the last 2 years, we've had a female winner that no one could question that person won. Okay.
Well, Kata Wars is unique. Kata Wars is very unique, ladies and gentlemen. You have to have 100 first places just to be invited. And the judges, they judge not on the 9.9 system. Each judge has a responsibility. One judge watches kicks. One just watches upper body. One just watches your presentation. One judges and watches if you step out of the ring. And then one judge has an option to be able to stop you and say, "Look, Yami, show me your book. Show me the application of what you just did." So it doesn't make sense if you go out there and just move and dance and without application in Bunkai. That's made Cotton Wars a little bit different. But it's fun. It's fun. We've had it for 6 years now. And this year we're going to be able to open up a little bit to black folks who want to come other than the 100 first place winners. So we're also going to be introducing a self-defense competition, Colonel. So it's going to be really cool this year. And,
absolutely. But again, it'd be well to remember the last few years, a lady won the pro catalog.
Yes, Chelsea. Clark. You're right. Yes.
And before that,
well, thank you,
Christine.
Yes. Thank you for your input and your wisdom. And I'll see you real soon, sir. God bless
you. Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you.
That was Colonel Phil Torres, part 5. Now, did Adam James call in yet by chance? Or Mr. Dean Piles, the Wolverine? Okay. Well, you know, this next gentleman has been a contributor to the Spokane Museum for over 5 years. Him and his partners, the co-inventors of this virtual reality platform, have supported the Spokane Museum individually. They've gone to shows to me from California to New Jersey to Texas. They'll be here this year with their incredible headset and their virtual reality idea. Now, the reason why I'm so involved is I created History General Portals. This is where you get to know all the platforms of all the history journals that we talk about weekly. Their profiles will be there inside this incredible platform called SetDR.app. With that said, I want to bring on a co-inventor, a real doctor, ladies and gentlemen, saves lives every day, Jerigen Lee, a 93 black belt from the museum. Reggie, you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. Take a moment and tell people what SetDR is.
Yes. We are super excited about raising the bar with SetDR with our new developers. We are currently redesigning our program to be more interactive and captivating as you practice to improve your skills in self-defense, to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want, develop muscle memory to develop a reflex response against a random and sudden attack during an adrenaline surge to neutralize without hesitation. Our website is currently under reconstruction to help prepare us to showcase the unveiling of a program that would, I believe, will actually make you fall off your chair and knock your socks off. How cool is that? We can't wait to showcase and to unleash our pending program. We are currently waiting to be unleashed. With SetVR, you will not be outside looking into our program. With SetVR self-defense, enhancement training, and virtual reality, you'll be actually be immersed into a simulation program whereby a hologram will suddenly attack you when you least expect it, with sudden and random attacks. Just like the military and the police has their simulation program, you can consider this program as a simulation program for martial arts to practice their skills in self-defense. You'll be actually moving 360 degrees in a cutting-edge program. We've chosen a dark alleyway where bad things usually happen, whereby the hologram will get into your personal space prior to the sudden attack to create an adrenaline effect. During this adrenaline surge is where you would actually normally lose approximately 35 or 40% or 50% of what you've been taught, and whereby utilizing muscle memory or reflex response would be your only and best recourse to engage and to neutralize. Just as a metaphor, placing your hand on a hot stove, you move your hand reflexively. This program is also to be utilized as a way to practice your skills in movement, moving angular, linear, and circular. As a metaphor, if a car or train or bus is coming toward you, hopefully you'll be moving out of the way. This program will help you practice the art of Tai Tsubaki to move angular, linear, and circular to help you place you in the position of advantage for neutralization or just to avoid the attack. With the Oculus Rift and Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with sudden and random attacks. The goal is to neutralize the attack that is sudden, unpredictable, and random, to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, and circular movements. As I mentioned, to place you in a position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice and improve your skills in timing, speed, accuracy, develop muscle memory, and my goal, to develop a reflex response to a threat or a stimulus to neutralize without hesitation, as I mentioned before, just like if you place your hand on a hot stove as a metaphor. This is a platform whereby you can see to practice your skills and what you've been taught in cottage and forms in your schools on a program of application against a random attack to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation exercise, and also we present you with your own personal yoga instructor. As I mentioned previously, our website is currently under reconstruction. We plan to have it on live pretty soon. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the feature platform of his vision of the Sports Karate Museum and virtual reality with Seth Star, whereby we have introduced Gary Lee as the Wisdom Warrior at the gate of the History Portal. But before meeting the Wisdom Warrior, one must neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the History Portal and then be brought into the courtyard to meet the core history journals. With that being said, Professor Gary, some few words about your vision of the Sports Karate Museum and virtual reality that you are.
Well, my vision is very simple. Education, elders, and knowledge. And respect, you know, those are very important words, Reggie. And that's what we're doing with SetVR, I feel. And we've got a core group we're going to start with. Mr. Judd Roy Kerbin, the man who brought the two-point kick to the world. George Minshew, the man that brought a gold ring, first man to give a gold ring in open competition. Chris Minshew, an NBL world point champion. And Mr. Mike Diller, the owner of Century Martial Arts, the largest martial arts manufacturer in the world, and the owner a Black Belt magazine. And every month we'll add a new History Journal profile so you'll be able to earn the privilege to learn about all these incredible by beating up this hologram that Dr. Lee and Rick Shanahan and Marie Shanahan have invented with the inspirational of Mr. Rick Wiggins, and rest in peace, and his instructor, which some of the old timers might remember, Ronald Duncan from New York. So it's all about women, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what SetVR is. So, Reggie, thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this. And I can't wait to see you in October. Take care, Reggie. Take care.
Thank you. Can't wait as well. Thank you so much.
Now, going back to the five. This young man now, did David Chambers, you there, big guy? David, take off mute. You there, David? Golly, Bob, I don't know where David went. I thought he was on the air with us. How about Adam James?
Yes, this
David?
Is Adam.
Adam, there you go.
Yes,
okay. Golly bum, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you tonight, Gary?
Super. Talk to me about the ladies. How much do you feel the ladies have progressed and made our sport incredible? Mr. Adam James,
about it.
My dear friend. Let me introduce you first, big guy.
Yes, okay.
Adam and I met at World Black Belt working for Bob Wall. And he's an incredible writer, a kung fu practitioner, has his own company, but he's an actor, ladies and gentlemen. He's just involved with the new Doc Savage series. But he has wisdom, and I love for him to be a part of the five. So, Adam, now that I've introduced you properly, tell people how you feel the women have involved.
Well, thank you for those kind words. I will say that, of course, as all of us know, the women martial artists have had an immense impact on martial arts, on all of us. And, you know, number one as our mothers, but also as leaders and guides in this martial arts journey. And there's so many great martial artists, female martial artists that have, you know, contributed and done great things. They've won tournaments. They've written books. They've run martial arts schools. They've impacted lives. There's one person that I'd like to mention, and that is my wife's cousin, who was the very first female black belt in Aikido outside of Japan. When Marihei Yuishiba came to Honolulu, Hawaii to open the very first Aikido dojo outside of Japan, he lived at my wife's family's home, and her cousin became a devout student of O-sensei. And then when he left, a guy named Tohei-sensei came over, and she's trained extensively with him. She was a terrific martial artist and had a fantastic contribution to the martial arts in Hawaii. She's just an example of so many great female martial artists who've done a huge impact, but maybe aren't as well known as they should be. So I encourage everybody out there to, you know, make sure that you pay your respects to your fellow female martial artists, your senseis who are female, and of course, take a moment to do some research on some of the great female martial artists in history.
Well, you know, Adam, you've been around a long time. Now, what are some of the problems in Kung Fu that they've done Kung Fu?
Well, you know, I've had the pleasure of training with a couple of really terrific Kung Fu guys, Leo Fong, of course, and then also my good friend Cam Yuen, who just recently passed away. I myself would really not call myself a Kung Fu guy. I have too much respect for those that really are. I've trained extensively with Leo, but really my background is Kenpo. And in Okinawan Kenpo, it was something that I was taught by my original sensei back in Hawaii, Mike Dela Vega, was that in Okinawa, a lot of the great martial artists were female. In fact, his first sensei was his grandmother, who he said could kick his ass. Pardon my French. But he was a really terrific martial artist, and he would always say it was the female martial artists in Okinawa who learned through the bone dance the secret martial arts techniques that then were applied in karate practice.
Yes. Well, you know what, Adam? I appreciate your opinion and your wisdom, and thank you. I know that you're filming and stuff on the Doc Savage set and everything, and I've been trying to reach you, and I'm so glad you got on. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I will mention we're on hold now because of the strike, the actor strike, which is going on, and hopefully that'll be resolved soon. I thank everybody out there for your support, and I wish everybody a terrific evening. Thank you so much for having me on.
Super, super. Now, did Dave Chambers get on yet?
Yes, sir.
I've been trying to call you, David. Where'd you go?
Oh, I don't know. I'm behind him at that.
Didn't you?
Oh, I feel he might have kicked me to the curb. I feel he doesn't love me anymore.
I love it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the makeup of the five is one of my dear friends and someone I've watched grow into one of the best Texas black belts. I can prove that because he won the Golden Gleam, the MVP of Texas, over 5 times. Just recently got promoted to 7th-grade black belt under my instructor, Mr. George Minshew. He is the president of the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Karate. We call him DE for short, but his name is David Chambers. DE?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The question is, ladies, how they have influenced us just in Texas alone of what you've seen for the past 40 years of your career, ladies. Go ahead, David.
Well, I look at some of the changes that have been made. I'm going to start off with the sport karate. In the sport karate, I do have a few of my friends that I'm really excited to see that are now in leadership roles. You know, currently I'm with the Amateur Organization Karate. And, you know, we have now several females that are now board members. We have actually one now that's on the executive board. So I like to see that growth. Someone asked me, I put 6 females in about 3 years ago. They're like, what? No, how is so many females in?
What is the part of your board, David? The great
she is one of the board members. Linda Bentley is one of the board members. She hosts an event under our organization. And, you know, her record stands for itself. You know, if anybody done karate, you know, that's a female that know how to kick and punch. So I love how the sport part of it has really been changing, how they've been recognized, even though it's still a lot more that need to be done. But my most impressive part is some of the females that's not known. Some of these ones who are teaching other students, some of these ones who are making a difference in people's lives. You might not know their name today. You might not ever know their name, but they are making a major impact in instructing, mentoring kids through the martial arts. So I'm looking at what they're doing more than the recognition is what they are actually doing for the community. And I'm excited about that point. I appreciate it. Much respect for it. Oh, one other thing. You know, I had a female to promote me this weekend, you know, the great world champion, Chris Minshew. You know, she was one of the three. There's only three that signed my certificate from the organization. But I had her and I had two other females on my board. That
I think April was there.
Lauder.
April and Jenny.
Yes, so I had three others that was on there in addition to Ms. Minshew, Ms. Lourdes, Ms. April Cunningham, Ms. Jenny Press, all of them. I had the beautiful part of actually saying I was promoted by four females this weekend. So that's a big thing. That's a major thing.
Wow. That is really cool. Well, David, thank you for what you do. I appreciate it so much what you do. And who you are, and I'll see you in October at the Legend, because you're speaking also, I believe, on Friday night on behalf of the Black Karate Federation. And
yes, indeed.
Yes, sir. I want to say thank you again, Dee, for all you do and being part of the five. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mr. David Chambers. And that kind of heads up the five. And now I want to bring on my special guest that we had in the beginning, Ms. Vicki Morrow. Vicki, you there? Vicki, did you go to bed? Vicki, turn off the mute. Mob Radio. I love it. Vicki? Well, we were talking to Ms. Vicki Morrow, and, you know, God bless her, and she'll be at the Legends this year, and we'll be saying thank you to her personally. Now, for more information about the Legends event and the tribute toward Gary Smith, Karen E. Herdman, and the great Mike Stone, you can call 713-483-0476. And for more information about the Sports Karate Museum, please go to www.sportkarateamuseumarchive.com and see what all the excitement is about. When you talk to a pioneer, someone that knows about what could I say, the 70s, 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s. That's the Sport Karate Museum. On behalf of everybody, including my producer, Hunter Jesse Bowen, the five, our incredible sponsors, and our special guest tonight, Vicki Morrow. We say this every week, and we mean it from the heart. Much mahalo. Aloha.
Hey, Professor, I have one more note for you.
Yes, sir.
Something we were going to talk to Adam about, what got me to join the Marine Corps, and that was Doc Savage. Remember?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the only note I had for Adam.
Okay. I love it. I love it. History, ladies and gentlemen. You bet. We appreciate everybody that's on Parts Unknown in our Tuesday night show. And we missed you, Wolverine. Quit knocking people out, okay? And we missed you, Wolverine. God bless you, buddy. And again, we say it every week, and we mean it from the heart. Much mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. God bless.
Good night.